Well, the new Supreme Court session starts Monday, and the court may make decisions that will directly impact the midterm elections on November 4th. Everything from voter IDs to same-day registration. You'll remember last year the court struck down part of the Voting Rights Act, freeing nine states to change their election procedures without getting federal approval, and some have. For instance, North Carolina got rid of same-day voting and voter registration, and on Wednesday, a court reinstated that. Rick Hassan is professor of law and political science at the University of California, Irvine School of Law. Rick, welcome.
Great to be with you.
So first, just an overarching thought. Four states are affected by these major election law cases just 5 weeks before the midterms. How would you characterize what's going on?
Well, it's a mess, but it's kind of a predictable mess. We've seen just a bunch of cycles of the courts issuing opinions, legislatures coming in, changing the rules, those rules getting challenged with the election approaching. There's all kinds of emergency petitions that are either there or on their way to the Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court decided at least one this week in Ohio.
That's right. So the court, on a 5-4 vote, without giving any of its reasoning, reversed a lower court ruling which had prevented the state of Ohio from rolling back some of its early voting dates. So Ohio had cut back from about 35 days to 28 days and gotten rid of some periods where you could both register to vote and vote early on the same day. The lower courts had put that on hold, and the Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote said, no, you can roll it back, Ohio, if you want to.
There was some concern that it would then cut out an important Sunday for African-American voters in particular because churches rallied people to vote.
Well, I would say that if you look at Ohio overall, it actually offers so many more opportunities for voting than most places do, like New York or Pennsylvania, where you've just basically got your election day. You've got no excuse absentee balloting available through the whole state. Everyone in the state who's a voter is mailed an absentee ballot application. 4 weeks of early voting is more than even the average of states that have early voting. So I think the other cases that are working their way up present more serious, much more serious obstacles to voting than the one in Ohio.
Let's take a look then. North Carolina, there's a battle there over same-day voting and the counting of provisional ballots. A federal appeals court ruled Wednesday of this week that North Carolina has to restore same-day voting and count provisional ballots that voters file outside of their home districts. And now we know there's a hotly contested U.S. Senate race there between the Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan and House Speaker Tom Tillis, who's appealing the ruling to the Supreme Court. What's your prediction on how this will end up, and flesh it out a little more?
Well, you know, all of these cases, Ohio, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and potentially Texas, involve the same question. How broad is the scope of the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause, and how much protection do minority voters get under an important provision, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act? It's ultimately going to be up to the Supreme Court to decide these questions. It probably doesn't have time for a full examination of the questions before the election, but it is going to have to issue an order to decide whether or not these things can be put on hold or not. As the state of North Carolina goes up and asks to be able to put these cutbacks in place, you have challengers to Wisconsin's law coming in and asking that court's decision be reversed and the voter ID law that was just allowed to be put in place be rolled back.
Okay, well, you mentioned Wisconsin and a fight over voter ID. Opponents of the state's 2011 voter ID law are appealing to the Supreme Court to block the law ahead of the November 4th election. They say there's not enough time to implement the rules after a lower court gave that ID law the green light on September 12th. Your thoughts on how they'll fare before the court?
Well, I think the Wisconsin case is the strongest case for challengers to these laws. And so now we're in a situation where, by the state's own admission, up to 10% of voters in Wisconsin who are eligible to vote may not be able to get the ID in time to be able to vote. The case is now before the Supreme Court, which could rule within a matter of days.
Well, and Wisconsin has a hotly contested governor's race, a question of whether the Republican incumbent Scott Walker will win a second term. But just to underscore what you've said, this isn't about telling a state you have to get rid of voter IDs. This is about delaying the implementation through this important election.
That's right. And we've had two cases already, one out of South Carolina and one out of Pennsylvania, where the courts have said essentially whether or not your ID law is ultimately okay, you can't roll it out without enough time to fully implement it. There has to be a system in place so that people who want the identification that's required under the law can get it without too much of a hassle before the election. And there's a real risk of electoral chaos coming out of Wisconsin, regardless of where you ultimately stand on whether or not this ID law should be put in place.
Let's move to Texas, because there's a debate there also over voter IDs. Under the law in Texas, someone who shows a concealed carry gun permit can vote, but someone who shows a student ID cannot. So it's about what Texas is deciding is an ID. This could end up in the Supreme Court. What do you expect there?
Well, what's happening in that case is that the trial has ended over whether or not this law violates the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act. We're waiting for the judge to rule. Some people who are in the courtroom think the judge is going to issue a ruling before the election, potentially putting that voter ID law on hold. That one, unlike Wisconsin, has already been implemented. And so if the judge issues this order, I expect it'll get appealed further up, either to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, or it could even go to the Supreme Court. I think it's much more likely that Texas's voter ID law will be in place on Election Day than that Wisconsin's will, because Texas has been implementing it all along.
Yeah. Bottom line, Rick Hassan, and I'm asking you from your legal expertise, but not some sort of partisan view. Do you think that voting rights will be eroded or maintained after the Supreme Court decisions?
Well, what we've seen is a consistent amount of churn. Since 2000, there's been more than a doubling of the amount of litigation in the courts. We've seen trends of Republican states making it harder to register and vote, Democratic states making it easier to register and vote. And I think we're going to see a lot more churn. But I think ultimately, probably not before this election, but within the next few years, the Supreme Court is likely to shut down the litigation efforts to try to stop states that have been making it harder to register and vote. And these battles are going to have to be fought politically rather than through the courts.
Rick Hassan, election law expert and professor of law and political science at the University of California Irvine School of Law. Thank you.
Thank you.
So again, Supreme Court session starts Monday. Midterms are November 4th. We will follow it all. You're listening to Here and Now.